This is the Eastern Shore Trails podcast from the Eastern Shore Land Conservancy. My name is Owen Bailey, and I'm the Director of Land Use and Policy at ESLC. This is episode 2, Benefits, of our 5-part trail series that brings you recorded audio from our regional trails workshop, Connecting Communities on the Eastern Shore. ESLC hosted this workshop in April 2022 with a focus on trail benefits, trail planning, and creating a vision for a regional trail network throughout the Eastern Shore of Maryland. In this episode, we will hear from two of our morning panelists, Dan Hudson and Cindy Steiner. Dan works with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. He joined staff of Maryland Park Service in 2013 as a trail manager, a new position to help the 21 state park managers and their staff with maintenance of existing trails and development of new routes in state parks. Prior to joining DNR, Dan worked 7 years for the International Mountain Bicycle Association in their Trail Solutions program, where he had an emphasis on trail planning and construction project management. Cindy is a former executive director of the New Jersey Bike and Walk Coalition. Her most notable advocacy wins include pursuit of the Norfolk Southern Railroad for Essex-Hudson Greenway, $90 million in safety improvements for bike riders on the George Washington Bridge, and passage of key legislation in support of pedestrian and bike rider safety. She has also helped launch over a dozen community advocacy organizations. She is currently an advocacy advisor for Talbot Thrives. Now onto the show and the vision for trails.
As Owen said, my name is Dan Hudson. I'm a trail planner for Maryland Park Service. I'm honored to facilitate the discussion this morning with these three awesome panelists. We're going to have lots of great information to share with you. I like to run my mouth some as well, so I'm going to take advantage and have a few slides for you. The idea to try to prime your brain a little bit to start thinking about trails, you know, what trails mean to you, what trails mean to your constituents. Again, it's a simple word. Think a minute. When you hear the word trail, what pops into your, what vision, what phrase, what ideas pop into your head? If I was tech savvy, I'd have some app and everybody be typing in that word or phrase and we do a word cloud, but I'm a trail guy, I'm a tech guy. So I did go on the internet and I found a trail-oriented word cloud. You know, it's not your word cloud, but it's a trail word cloud. Hopefully a few of the ideas that popped into your head when trail popped up. This is more of a hiking, not a biking. So you don't see the word bike there. I'm guessing a bunch of you thought about biking as well. But you see adventure, activity, transportation, sport, or you don't see transportation, you see sport, landscapes, tourists. If you look close, there are a couple like not happy words there though. Dehydration, hypothermia. You know, if we were in a public setting, I'm sure we've all had the opportunity to participate in public meetings. There might be some scary words in there too. You know, crime. You know, or outsider. So definitely things, I mean, we all love trails and I personally, it's my life. You know, it's my job. I think trails are a valuable amenity, a thing that we need to deliver. But part of our mission, if we're going to make that happen, we have to embrace, you know, the bad and to help explain to the public, you know, explain to them that no, we can get around those things. But yeah, just kind of, you know, what do trails mean to you? What do they mean to your constituents? For me, if I had one word for trails, it'd be fun. When I think of trails to me, fun. It's like hair club for men. I'm a trail planner, but on a weekend, like pretty much every weekend or in summertime, we have daylight, I'm out on a trail someplace. I love to ride bikes on my road bike, on my mountain bike. I'm using a trail. I love it. It's fun. I had to do one thing, got to do one thing. My vacations are trails. You know, fun. Also, thinking of that word trail, what do trails mean to your constituents, the people in your area, the people who are serving? They're going to think of a lot of different things too. You know, some of them again are going to be thinking about, you know, like grabbing the bike out of the garage, you know, going out on a long distance journey. Other ones are thinking about, you know, going walking the dog. Having a safe place to get some exercise with the family. Some people are thinking about walking. Some people are thinking about bikes. You know, others are thinking about going out and riding their horse. Some people, especially on the Eastern Shore with the landscapes we have, some people literally, when they think trail, they think water trail. You know, and they're going to like throw, they're going to like grab the kayak or the canoe and put in, and that's going to be their trail adventure and their fun after work or on a weekend. So definitely trail can mean, that word can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And there's no right answer. They're all the right answers. Makes our job more fun, also makes it a little harder to try to accommodate, you know, everybody's idea of trails. Think about what trails best fit for the opportunities that you have as you're listening to the speakers today and coming up with your questions. You know, trails through the lens of a planner or an official. You know, we think about economy a lot, trails in the economy. It's almost like a drinking game in the mid-Atlantic. Like, how many times you hear the word, the phrase Great Allegheny Passage when you're in a discussion of trails? You've already heard it once today and not twice. Great Allegheny Passage is an awesome example of trails in the mid-Atlantic. A trail in the mid-Atlantic, it is a destination. People literally come from across the country to spend days on the Great Allegheny Passage. But I would challenge you for the rest of the day here that, I mean, just because you can't do a Great Allegheny Passage in your area doesn't mean that you shouldn't think about doing a trail. I think that as important, potentially even more important for us, are trails that are quality of life amenities. They draw people to your area, but not people for a weekend. You know, they draw people to your area, your people to your town to move there and stay there, can make the difference for somebody choosing town A, you know, over town B, because they have a really great trail, whether it be a land trail or water trail, whether it be natural surface single track in the woods to walk their dog and to hear Mother Nature, or a paved trail to get out and travel like into town and go to the pub or to take their kid to school. You know, trails that are quality of life amenities, super important. And I hope as you listen to the speakers today and you come up with your questions, you'd be thinking of trails through that lens too. Not just those destination trails, but trails that are really aimed more at the people who live in your town right now. A really great example of a community in the U.S. now who is looking at trails through the lens of quality of life and community development is in Northwest Arkansas. David mentioned the idea of finding a champion for your trails and your ideas. And Northwest Arkansas has the governments there have a ready-made champion in the guise of Walmart. Northwest Arkansas is like a lot of communities in the U.S. It's transitioning from forest products and extraction industry. You know, and now Northwest Arkansas sees their future in the 21st century as a technology hub. And so does Walmart. Walmart sees their future as a company not as competing with Target, but as competing with the Amazons of the world. But they're very committed to staying in Northwest Arkansas. That's their roots. That's where they want the company to be there. So the communities in Northwest Arkansas, in partnership with Walmart, it's like, how can we compete for quality employees with the likes of Amazon and Google when we want the company to stay? We want our communities to benefit here in Northwest Arkansas. So they've embraced what they have, which is amazing natural resources and environments and landscapes. And a big part of that investment and embracing is in trails. And the group of communities in Northwest Arkansas over the last 10 plus years has invested $70 million in trails of all shapes and sizes. Again, paved trails connecting communities, natural surface single track trails, you know, for people to wander in the woods, trails to go to schools, trails to go to businesses, people can use to commute to work. And it's really paying off for them. You can see the obligatory return slide, you know, so what they've spent $70 million over 10 years, but in 2017 alone, oh, it's so hard to read, is it $137 million in return? And a whole lot of that is the fuzzy value of health benefits. But a lot of it is cold, hard cash. $51 million accounted for in 1 year of that they can point back to the trail improvements making the difference. You know, people moving there, people coming to the community to use their trails, people going to businesses oriented to the trails. So an incredible return on investment. And they're not alone. West Virginia, the pandemic has greatly accelerated it. West Virginia is embracing these same ideas. You know, now that, you know, in the aftermath of the pandemic, so many businesses are transitioned to telecommuting. My wife recently got a new job and she doesn't even have an office to go to. Like, the company sent her a box with a laptop and a mobile phone and said, here, call in your first day of work and we'll do your orientation. She doesn't have an office to go to. It's not an option. So West Virginia is they're appealing to that group. If you're going to be working from home, why not live where it's wild and wonderful? You know, they're making incredible investments in the infrastructure to allow those people to live in their communities, broadband infrastructure and such, but also investing in their outdoor infrastructure, trails put in on rivers, parking and opportunities to go rock climbing. You know, so those heavy hitters who, you know, potentially were looking to live in a place like New York City, it's like, well, why should I live in New York City if I'm telecommuting anyway? Where I can live, where the air is crystal clear, I have beautiful outdoor amenities to enjoy. Is it really that different than the Eastern Shore, you know, where you could like finish your telecommute and like put your boat in and paddle on the Pocomoke? You know, amazing opportunities. Before I hand things over to our amazing speakers, I did want to take a look at a couple of trails that we have right here on the Eastern Shore. Again, prime your brain for questions, you know, be receptive to the info. One of the most successful trails on the Eastern Shore, Cross Island Trail on Kent Island. Anybody else here just like fall down the rabbit hole of the Strava heat map? I use this all. I look at it, they update it all the time with like new crowdsourced data. And as we develop new trails and new opportunities in state parks, I'm fascinated to see how they're discovered and how they're used and how the heat map changes in parks as we develop new facilities. But I found it, you know, it's not authoritative, but it's a really interesting, valuable tool that I use a lot to see how we're doing. But it's fascinating to look at the heat map for the Cross Island Trail. So in this particular case, I flipped it on for foot traffic, and you can see that the Cross Island Trail, for people who aren't familiar with Kent Island, is that blazing red hot line kind of going horizontally across the page. But I find more interesting to look at the connections to that. So you see those communities like to the north of 50 and on the north side of the trail. And you can see they're pretty hot too. People are walking out their door and walking through their community to get to the trail compared to the communities on the other side of 50. Just shows how big of an impediment 50 is. You know, much less walking, virtually no connectivity to the Cross Island Trail. This shows the quality of life. I would bet those homes on the north side, I don't know anything about those communities, but I wouldn't be surprised if those homes on the north side were just a little bit more valuable, you know, in the marketplace to the ones on the south, solely because of their access to the Cross Island Trail. A completely different style of trail, looking in a different part of the Eastern Shore. So this time I went into the heat map and I flipped it from foot traffic to bicycle traffic. And we're looking at kind of the region around Salisbury. And you can see I'm not savvy on Salisbury, but you see some of the network of trails. I know there's like the Stream Valley Park and the trails kind of south of old like Business 50 there. And you can see there's definitely some use there. But I want to focus in on like just north of town, like north of like the 50 bypass. I don't know if you can notice it there, but there is this red hot blob up there, which really draws your eyes. What the heck is going on there? That's like as hot as anything in Salisbury. It's hot as the Cross Island Trail. All right, so here we are. Here's that blob. This is Naylor Mill Forest. You know, it's city land adjacent to a county recreation park. So these are natural surface single track trails that go through the forest. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend that you plan a network of trails quite like that. That's 4 miles of trail in a 60-acre forest. That's really dumping the limp noodle spaghetti on the page. But wow, look how loved that facility. Look how important that facility is to trail users around Salisbury. I'll be a little bit of a contrarian maybe to some of you and some of the other speakers. You know, David mentioned the connections and how important connections are. And of course, they're critically important connections and those missing links and gaps. Incredibly important for us to consider when we're thinking of trails and planning trails. But don't forget those nodes in your network, those destinations. You'll travel on a safe trail from your home to a place like Naylor Mill and then have fun there. You know, trails don't necessarily have to be long distance trails, trails that go from A to B to be valuable. Just a couple of loops of trail, like on the public space that you have available in your community, can make the world of difference to how loved your community is and somebody wanting to stay and live and raise their kids in your community versus not having an amenity like that at all. All right, so hopefully you've started to think about trails and getting all excited. And I'm going to hand the discussion off to Ms. Steiner, who has a lot of great information to share with you about visioning and planning and what your trails can
be. I'm Cindy Steiner. I'm the former executive director of the New Jersey Bike and Walk Coalition, which is a statewide advocacy organization. But I'm born and raised on the Eastern Shore. I grew up on Church Creek, and I still have a farm there, and I'm back to take care of my ailing parents. So I had to leave New Jersey behind after 36 years. Excuse me. But I can talk to you about, a very successful project that's budding there called the Essex-Hudson Greenway that I worked with Dave Brickley and the 9/11 Memorial Trail to get that to happen. It was a project that involves 8.6 miles of rail from Montclair to Jersey City, which any of you know is northern New Jersey in the New York City metropolitan area, that sat abandoned since 2003. And all along it, the communities of Montclair, Newark, Bloomfield, Kearney, Jersey City, Belleville, all had little groups along it scratching their heads saying, gee, wouldn't this be great to make it into a trail? And it kind of flopped and floundered, and Norfolk Southern, who owned it, kept saying, no, we want no part of it. And so those folks all walked away. And that was in 2003 to 2012. And then it just died. And I came along and I brought my organization along my board. And I said, this project is worth resurrecting. We need to have this. Kind of like David Brickley did in his past. I did it on a smaller scale. In 2014, I was able to get the groups together and we renamed it. They had given it a name. They called it the Ice and Iron Trail, which had to do with the freight brought in from Western Jersey to Jersey City, bringing ice to New York City, you know, pre-refrigerator days. Well, I gave it the name Essex-Hudson, which are the two counties it connects, to give it a sense of place, because that's something a politician will get behind, especially if they're from those counties. And so, long story, 8 years later, we went from a grassroots movement of people along the town, along the Greenway, to Governor Murphy last summer signing a deal to spend $65 million to purchase the Greenway or the rail from Norfolk Southern and to build the Greenway in an area that is, you know, North Newark is destitute. I mean, the pictures of the rail now, it's garbage strewn, it's covered with graffiti, but that's people's backyards. And it's going to transform the whole region. And it was all done from what I say, the bottom up, where a project, you know, starts in communities. It's somebody's idea, Mr. Oyster Trail. It's somebody's idea. And you escalate it to a David Brickley or to other politicians in your area and let them become the champions, let them become the heroes. And that's what we did. So I'm very much a grassroots person working with communities and helping them go through that process of making a trail into a vision and into a project. This picture here is taken at the Sandy Hook Trails, the northern end of New Jersey, if anybody's familiar. Anybody here know Mike Dannemiller at all from the Complete Streets community? You know Mike. Those are his daughters. Yes, John said it. Okay, so how do I get this to There we go. Okay, so that's my outline. So again, tourist destinations and community. We often think of piling into a car, driving to a trail, loading the bikes on it. But people like to step out their back door onto a trail. So the diversity of trail users, I've got listed here some of the ones you've heard already: walking, biking, recreation, commuters. How about bird watchers, fishermen, faith-based groups? COVID sent a lot of people outside. Trail's a perfect place to go. A lot of wellness groups, coaches bring yoga classes out, even horseback riding equestrians, skiing in the wintertime, fundraising events, certainly. Underserved groups. That trailer that I told you about in Newark, Essex Hudson Greenway, connects Newark to the Meadowlands. And in 2 miles, you can get people, you can get children, youths from underserved communities to a canoe center and get them out paddling on the Sawmill Creek in the Meadowlands, which you can't do now. So equity issues are important. Education projects, student projects, community gardens, history tours, outdoor art events, picnics. And then, of course, ADA. Make your trails ADA compliant. My father had a stroke. He needed to learn how to walk again. I took him to the Piney Orchard Trail in Odenton, and I got him out of his wheelchair onto a paved trail, and that's where he learned to walk again at 86 years old. So ADA, don't ever forget that community. And so I'm just showing you here, this is the B&A Trail, the Baltimore-Annapolis Trail. Here's a girl skateboarding, inline skates. Another one, they put a water fountain out so your dogs can get to the water, you know, can get a drink. So that's certainly going to bring more people to your trail. Palanskill Valley Rail Trail, this is Northwest New Jersey, Sussex County. They've listed here on there. There's my laser here. They've listed uses here, and you see biking is only one of them, right? Bird watching, wildflowers, wildlife, views, forest. They get it. And this is an unpaved trail. Trail's going to be paved or unpaved. That's a debate you'll have. And it all depends on the context. This is out in Northwest New Jersey. This is a pretty mountainous area. And it's an old rail trail or old railroad. And so that diversity of users leads to a diversity of business opportunities. So here's, you know, small business owners to tap into all of these different needs that trail will now produce. And then, of course, the supporting jobs to build the trail, from concept to outreach, construction and maintenance. That's all jobs. A quick figure here, pedestrian and bike projects create 11 to 14 jobs per $1 million spent, as opposed to highway projects, which are usually around 7 jobs per million spent. The $15 million you could spend building a section of the trail gets you about 3 miles of interstate highway. Just to give you an example. So it's job creation. Economic benefits. I mean, look at this. This is on the Ohio and Erie Trail in central Ohio. This real estate sign, house for sale, they advertise, they're right on the bike path. Those folks here from Kent Island, you're going to recognize this. This is a housing development right here on the Cross Island. They have a pathway, right? So trails generally, for the most part, increase home values anywhere from 5 to 25%. And this is a trail in Indiana. They're saying 11% more for every half mile closer to the trail, closer to the Greenway. This is on the B&A Trail near Severna Park. This is a community here, right? Upscale houses. They put a little cement pathway in just to get to the trail. Cost you pennies to do that, but the people want it. Here's this is also in Severna Park on the B&A Trail. Here's an eatery here. Just a simple amenity like a bike rack is going to bring in customers. I can stop there. I can lock my bike and go have a bite to eat. Perfect. These three pictures, this is a strip mall right here, right off Route 2 on the B&A Trail. And this is the back of the businesses right here. This is a yogurt stand. So the front faces a road off Route 2. The back faces the B&A Trail right here. And they've put, look, picnic tables, umbrellas, bike racks. Place is packed with trail users. It was great. This was a few weeks ago. Now, the point I want to make here about health benefits. sure, we can ski, right? Extra equipment, sports. Generally, after high school, our activity tends to drop. And sports like this have a barrier to people who can't afford the equipment, or you still have to bring the equipment. You have to spend the money. You have to go someplace to ski. You've got to go someplace to do this. But walking just takes a pair of sneakers. Or if you're in a wheelchair, you're rolling it along on a trail. So even the Surgeon General has advocated for walking as daily exercise acceptable to get your weekly exercise in. Too far. Health impacts. We all learned from COVID the concept of essential exercise. We caught ourselves sitting around too much. We need to get back in shape. New Jersey area was because you couldn't, I mean, they were closing parks because of COVID. So people needed trails. People needed to get outside. So we learned, we took recreation and we started calling it essential exercise. But what I want to point out here is this is on the Cross Island Trail. These people, I'm venturing to guess, live on the trail. Look, they just stepped out their back door. They're not carrying gear with them. She doesn't even have her purse with her. He's probably got the house keys in his back pocket. They live on the trail. Now, I wonder if this trail were not here, would they get in the car and drive to the gym? I don't know. But here it is. So health benefits. Safety. This is a person on a recumbent bike. These bikes are much harder to see out on the road. He's probably here because it's safer. And again, Mike's children, absolutely you're going to have them here. You're not going to have them out on the road. Doesn't matter how many painted bike lanes you put on a road. These, you know, most people are going to want to look for off-road safe place for the kids to ride. And then the eyes on the street concept. If any of you urban planners are familiar with Jane Jacobs, she came along in the 50s and she talked about eyes on the street, the safety that bringing people to an area brings. Some people talk about how trails are going to bring crime into their neighborhood. Well, it's really hard to run away with a TV set trail. There's people watching. So the eyes on the street concept actually has a way of suppressing crime. It's opposite of the myth that someone can get to your house now and take the TV if they want to get it. So communities have a way of protecting themselves, and trails just foster that. Mobility, skateboarding. I was working on my master's at Rutgers. There was a guy that commuted from Jersey City to New Brunswick on a skateboard. He actually did it by commuting to the train stations, but he would walk into class with his skateboard slung over his shoulder and his backpack over the other shoulder. And he said it took half the time that it did walking to the train stations to use a skateboard. So people actually do. But the point is that mobility, wheeled mobility, is really changing now. David's electric bike. Skateboarding, people just riding bikes, scooters. It's really changing. And a lot of it has to do with congestion. And if you build trails like this, they've got other ways of getting to where they want to go. Whoops, went too far. This now, equity issues. We talk about equity. Communities of underserved communities have higher pedestrian crashes and fatalities and bicycle crashes and fatalities because they have more people walking. Because many times they don't own a car, so they rely on public transportation. I love this example here. This is Route 9 going into Newcastle, Delaware. And just before you get to Newcastle is a Black community called Dobbinsville that I happened to be riding my bike and discovered it. And I pulled in to just check it out. And I knew this trail was here. This is the Newcastle Battery Park Trail in red here. The folks in Dobbinsville have created these paths from their neighborhood to get to the trail. And when I was on the trail, I saw Black people on the trail. That's unusual. If you're doing that, you're winning. People can get to the trail. So here's a person said, this is a comment, a place where you can have morning jog followed by sunlight bath. You have benches to sit and relax after your jogging. When we visited this weekend, there were shops put up with all kinds of handcrafts, art galleries. Had a very nice time here. We'll visit again. Important. Bird watchers. This is the Essex Hudson Greenway. This is in Branchbrook Park in Newark, New Jersey, of all places. They're on one of the bridges that will become the Essex Hudson Greenway, a railroad bridge. This is what they're looking at. Scenery. You can find scenery anywhere. You don't need to be in the Allegheny Mountains. New Zealand, Machu Picchu, you can find scenery anywhere. This is downtown Newark, New Jersey. It happens to be the Rahway River going through Branch Brook Park. That'll be part of the Greenway. But, excuse me, bike touring, Great Allegheny Passage. There are people like me who like to load up our bikes with our gear and pedal off into the sunset, and trails are perfect for that. In fact, the Delmarva Peninsula was just added to the Adventure Cycling Association's national paths. They created two trails that come down from Wilmington. One goes along the Ocean City side. The other comes through the west side, the bay side, and with the help of myself and Carol and a few others, we helped them route through, down through 213, through Easton, Cambridge, Blackwater. We put Harriet Tubman on the trail. People are going to start coming through Delmarva looking like this, gear like this, because of those maps. So you might want to start looking for them. Community engagement. This is fundraising events held on the Cross Island Trail in Kent Island. Using the trail to actually run running events, walking events, fundraising events. And then as David spoke about, here's the 9/11 trail. Connecting your trail to a national or regional network just brings more notoriety to it. So you've got the East Coast Greenway, which uses trails up and down the coast. The Empire State Trail, brand new in New York State, goes from the city all the way up to the border. And then the circuit, which Sarah Clark Stewart probably speak about later. This is a greater Philly area, various stages of development. People love these trails. I happen to also ride. David's setting out in June. I left a few years ago. We left the Pentagon on April 10th, and we came back to the Pentagon on May 3rd, having hit the other two sites. It's an experience of a lifetime. I'll never forget it. It took 3 weeks. There were four of us, and I can't thank David enough for coming up with that idea. History. This is the Warbass Junction signage on the Pawlinskill Valley Trail in Northwest New Jersey. They've taken pictures from when the trains used to run through there, and they've made them interpretive signage. For those of us who are history buffs or railroad buffs, it's another draw. And this is just on the trail. That doesn't cost you much to do, but there it is. There's the history. And the B&A Trail did the same thing. These Jones Station signage. These are old black and whites of the stations of people using the trains right there. And then this is an old electric box. This is left over from the railroad. They've left it as an artifact. I thought it was great. Oops. Okay, then just briefly, connections. This is the circuit, which Sarah probably speak about later, but you can get from point A to point B around the greater Philly area on trails using the circuit. And then this is Washington, the Gapco, the concept, or Washington, Pittsburgh on the Gapco, the concept of trail towns. They've pulled together, created best practices from town to town, how to use these trails, how to provide amenities, and it's all for economic value. And if you look just quickly, whoops, some of the impact, economic growth, just very quickly, some of the benefits of the concept of trail towns and the idea sharing that's gone on that trail have brought. And then just lastly, this is the Northern Valley Greenway, another idea at this point. The railroad right away is there, but the political will is not yet there to make this real. But something important about it, a trail or greenway worth having, people are already using it. And so I leave you with this thought. If you build it, they will come. If you build it right, it will endure.
You've been listening to the Shore Trails podcast from the Eastern Shore Land Conservancy. If you have enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out other episodes in our series. And if you want to support the work we do at ESLC, please visit our website at eslc.org and click the donate button. You can find more ESLC content on social media and on our blog. And please share with us your vision for a regional trail network. Thank you for joining us.